What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the DFS slate, upcoming FanDuel and DraftKings. I'm your host, Sean Kane, and, well, if you're playing the early slate, you'll have a little bit more of a selection. Main slate tonight, just three games. We'll go through those three games, break them down for you guys, get you a good sense of exactly how you want to approach this one. Should be a little bit of fun. You know, I mean, I don't know if other people are playing some of the smaller slates, but they're fun. It's easy to get leverage there. You know, you just you go against the chalk just a slight little bit, it'll work out for you. Last night, I played that express, that 8 o'clock express with the Cleveland Chicago game, the White Sox game, and I just got super aggressive. Pitched Dylan Covey. Dylan Covey went out and smoked the Orioles, 52 fantasy points, which was completely and wholly unexpected. But the Orioles are pretty bad against right-handers right now. So good job, Dylan Covey. That was a nice little win. So, you know, you treat it like that with these little three-game slates. You just be super aggressive, play some of these small-dollar tournaments and have some fun and see what happens. You take some risks because you have to be wildly different, much different strategy than a larger slate. Anyhow, we'll go game by game, and I'll just talk through everything. I'm not going to give really a player breakdown for this one. Try to get you guys in and out, and then, of course, tonight we'll get on the horn with Josh, and we'll give you guys what is going to be the final broadcast of Lineup Logic for the foreseeable future. Lots of questions. Sean, you're going to be back for football. You're going to be back for basketball. Guys, I have no way of knowing. I really don't. You know, it's unfortunate that I can't. I would like to say that, but I have no idea, you know, I've always tried to pride myself on the quality of research and being detail oriented and being focused on providing something that I think is well prepared. And I would hate to just not do that, and say that it's still, you know, the same podcast. So we'll see. We'll see. No good answer for whether or not NFL or NBA will be back come fall and winter. But we still have a couple MLB slates here. And of course, patreon.com/lineuplogic. That community is still active, still awesome, still some of the best people out there and just good folks. Like, you want to talk, you chat with guys who have good ideas. You use the cheat sheet as a good reference tool. That's what it is, man. It's for the fun of the game. It's for folks who want to have fun playing DFS. So, three game slate. Let's not waste too much time. We'll jump straight in and take a look at tonight. All right, first one of the night down in Tampa Bay. 7-run total here. Rick Porcello, Blake Snell, two pitchers who are doing work right now. And last night, this game was low scoring. The night before, pretty low scoring, only 6 runs scored, and even in the start with Faria in it. So I would expect that this to continue. You know, two pitching staffs that seem to kind of have a good beat on each other. You know, obviously you got to favor the Red Sox and versus even with Snell pitching really well. This season, I think you still have a number of righties here in this lineup that you could get excited about. So let's look at Porcello. He should be a popular option on this slate, 9-3, his price. And he's been really, really solid this year, you know, and he had a couple moments, and every once in a while you're going to get over on Rick Porcello when that hard contact floats up. But 24% strikeout rate, a 10% swinging strike rate here at 3.2. And the batted ball profile looks sharp. There's a 28% hard contact rate. And you compare that to last year where he was giving up, you know, he had a negative ground ball to fly ball ratio because he had a 38% hard contact. And this is the issue with Porcello. It's the hard contact. It's the fly balls. But he's been really good. And, you know, consistently establishing quality starts earlier in the year. Now his last three, Some struggles. Still getting into the sixth, still generating a few strikeouts here and there, but definitely also some earned runs coming with those. Oakland and New York, he gave up 5 runs each. Then he kind of settled down against Baltimore, generated 9 Ks across 6 for 3 earned. Very solid there. Now, he's pitched against Tampa Bay 3 times this year. So first outing, he went 5 innings, 4 Ks with just 1 earned. Second game, similar, 7 innings, 7 Ks, 3 earned, so quality start there. And then the third outing, similar again, 7 innings, 3 earned, 6 Ks. So I think that's about right. You get a quality start, a few earned runs, and, you know, probably near 6 or 7 strikeouts. The question is he worth it? On a small slate, you know, I mentioned that whole strategy of playing Dylan Covey last night, total complete shot in the dark risk, knowing that he would be one of the lower owned pitchers, the lowest owned pitcher, and he was the highest performing pitcher. With only 6 pitchers on the slate, do you want to take a risk on what will be the chalkiest pitcher? Now, I think in a cash game situation, obviously, yeah, I mean, yes, the highest floor pitcher right now, probably Rick Porcello. That said, he will also probably be the most popular, and so you don't really gain much of an edge there in this situation, and you wouldn't be able to play any of these Rays lefties. Now, the Rays offense is not a terrible offense necessarily. You know, relatively average, currently 11th in WRC plus versus right-handers, a 22% strikeout rate. It's not unreasonable to say that they probably will generate a few runs with the left-handers that they have. You have a reasonably priced group of bats that you may want to use if you're using some of the more expensive bats. I can't say it's a perfect idea, but he does allow 38% hard contact to that side of the plate. So, you know, the splits certainly favor the lefties. If you want to go to the Rays lefties, I could see that, and I would likely go to, you know, a pretty straightforward, you know, Span, Brad Miller, Malik Smith, kind of in the core of the order, those three, and then maybe you throw in CJ Cron or Matt Duffy, one of these guys who actually has been hitting and hitting consistently for this team. But Brad Miller's numbers right now, very, very sharp against righties. He's hitting a 443 WOBO, the 456 ISO. Now, that's not going to stay. The man is only a 13-game sample size, but he looks really, really sharp. He's making good contact. Denard Span, good on-base guy. I think CJ Cron has just been consistent for this team, and there's something to like there. Not much more than, I would guess, 3 runs. But on a 6-game slate, there could be some teams that get totally blanked. You know, I mean, that was it. So, you know, that can happen, and you gotta be prepared to take some chances. On the opposite side here, Blake Snell pitching really well this year, and this is kind of who this guy was supposed to be, right? Really good breaking stuff, swing and miss stuff. 3.68 Sierra with a 26% strikeout rate, 13% swinging strike rate. His hard contact is there at 32%, not terrible. 42% fly ball rate seems to be the real issue with Snell. And, you know, as long as he's locating, you're not necessarily too concerned. He's a little bit inconsistent, but he's had some really, really nice outings here. He just went out against Los Angeles in that road series that they had, 2 earned, 8 Ks across 6 innings, so got the quality start, generated the whiffs that we wanted to see. Against Boston, struggled earlier this year in the opener. He's pitched against them twice, had 1 phenomenal outing in which he generated 9 Ks across 7 innings, just 2 earned there, and 1 pretty mediocre, 5 innings, 2 Ks, but no earned. So, you know, a solid baseball start, just not a really very fantasy worthy. Blake Snell is certainly one of those guys that I would be willing to take a risk on, the swing and miss stuff. If you get a healthy zone, he starts to, you know, get some good calls through those first 2 innings. You could start to see him, you know, generate some momentum and rack up some Ks. He's one of the only guys on this slate who's going to really be able to generate, you know, the potential double-digit strikeouts. And that's just a fact. So no strong opinion on Snell, but I think he is probably going to be one of the higher risk, higher reward options on this slate because he has the strikeout rate. He has the swing and miss stuff. In fact, I believe he has the highest swinging strike rate of all the pitchers on tonight's slate. So that's an indicator that, you know, you may want to get involved. And and take a chance on Blake Snell at 13%. Yeah, he is the highest swinging strike rate on the slate by a good amount. So, you know, healthy optimism for Blake Snell, even though, you know, you're facing a Boston lineup that has been, you know, death to righties. Now, against left-handers, not quite the same, okay? Not quite the same. Boston has struggled. They're actually 28th in the league right now, 81 WRC plus with a 24% strikeout versus left-handers. That's enough to build a case for Blake Snell, and frankly, I don't have a problem with it. And we saw, you know, two good outings there. These teams clearly know each other. This has been a very low-scoring series, you know, and so you feel pretty good about this. I mean, Mookie and JD are really the only ones who are hitting lefties very well right now. So, you know, not a large sample size. That's part of the problem with Boston. For whatever reason, they haven't faced a lot of lefties. Their sample size and plate appearances is just pretty low. It's only in the 400s where you have a lot of teams that are, you know, upwards of 500, 600 plate appearances versus lefties. So it hasn't quite normalized for them, but it's still not a great indicator that this is, you know, this is one of the best offenses in baseball versus right-handers. This is an average offense, I think, versus left-handers with above-average players. And Mookie Betts and JD Martinez, obviously, they are phenomenal. Anyway, I think that Snell is an interesting spot. You know, it's a good way to be different if you pair Snell with the Rays and say, you know, hey, you maybe the Rays steal one here and they generate some early runs. Maybe you get a homer from Brad Miller, who has been lifting the ball. Feel good about that. Moving over to Royals, Rangers. This one in Texas. Nice night in Texas. We did not have a total as of this morning, but let's check it out now. Let me see if they updated it. That is not the right one. Royals Rangers, yes, 9.5, just as I expected. This would be the highest total. It's 90 degrees down there in Tejas. So humid night, should be a nice one. I mean, you saw how the ball's jumping in that Yankees series. 17 runs last night. Fucking CC, come on, man. That was... I've had some rough calls this week. I try to be aggressive with pitching. I mean, the Dylan Covey one worked out, you know, but it's one of those, you got to be aggressive. If you're not being aggressive, you're not going to, you know, find an edge. And, you know, sometimes you just fall absolutely flat on your face. So this is one of those moments where, you know, in Mean Girls, when Tim Meadows quietly raises his hand in that assembly and he's got like the broken arm and he's in the beater and he's just like shamefully raises his hand. That's me. That's me on my CC Sabathia call. My bad. Royals Rangers, 9.5 runs here. Danny Duffy, Austin Bibbins, Dierks, 4.8 for the Royals, 4.6 for the Rangers. Neither of these pitchers doing very well. This game has bats written all over it. It's game stack worthy for sure. You've got your Royals lefties setting up well against Bibbins, Dierks. And then you've got, you know, I was not thrilled about the Rangers versus left-handers, and they got some offense from a number of different guys last night, and it was good stuff. You know, they're not necessarily an exciting offense on paper by the numbers. 26% strikeout rate versus left-handers and a 90 WRC plus, very average offense. But last night they showed a little bit of pop, and Danny Duffy does not look that great. I mean, 18% strikeout rate, a 40% hard contact rate, and the ball certainly getting up. I don't know what it is with these Royals pitchers and allowing the fly balls, but 46% fly ball rate. I mean, I guess they feel comfortable with guys who allow the fly ball just because Kauffman is so big, but good gracious, not very good numbers for Danny Duffy. You know, the splits indicate let's hammer the righties, no doubt about it. A 5.4 xFIP to the right-handed, you know, to the right-handers, and a 40% hard contact to that side of the plate. Fly balls coming to both sides, but yeah, I mean, you certainly feel like you could get after Duffy in this situation with some of these righties, and they're relatively inexpensive. Of course, the Shields in the leadoff. Kiner Falefa has been batting third. That's fine. Okay. If Jerks and Profar, for whatever reason, is in the six hole again, okay, fine. Yeah, I mean, he's been consistent. He fills a middle infield need on a small slate, you know, and he's really like... he's generating a lot of fantasy points in this last two series. I mean, he looked great against New York. Looking at these numbers, dude is doing work. So, I mean, you got to build with those guys, and then you can always, he can always get a little bit different. You know, Mazzara seems to be hitting hitting pretty well. Ronald Guzman, he had a dinger last night. I don't know where he'll be in the order, if he'll be in the order. You know, we'll wait for the order. We'll see what we get. I think Texas is absolutely interesting. I want to get them involved in my lineups. But on the opposite side as well, Austin Bivens-Dirks, not great either. Last year, I think this is his first, this is the first start of the year for him. He's been down in AAA. When we look at last year, 12% strikeout rate, a 5.2 Sierra with, you know, fly ball, matching fly ball, ground ball rate, 36% hard contact. We know that this guy is going to struggle, and we have plenty of good lefties that we can attack him with, and righties too. I mean, honestly, you're just going to take the best hitters because he's going to allow it to both sides of the plate. And so what I'm looking at this Royals lineup, obviously I feel good about John Jay, Jorge Soler having a year, like really actually living up to that prospect value that he was given. Moose, for sure. You know, Sal Perez, we love. He's actually sometimes a little bit of a reverse split sky versus righties in a 271 ISO, second on the team versus right-handers. So no issue going with Sal and Moose. I think they will be popular. They should be popular. It was nice to see Whit Merrifield back in the core of the order. We know he dropped down to like 7 at one point when he was a little bit cold, but he's always a guy that I feel comfortable with. He rarely gives you, donuts. And I always try to be a little bit aggressive with a guy like Alex Gordon. You know, I mean, he rarely played. People are underexcited, not excited about him, but every once in a while he'll throw one out of the park. So 1 through 6 for me on the Royals, perfectly fine. 1 through 6 for me on the Rangers, perfectly fine. I think a game stack could be a whole lot of fun, unique way to say, you know what, this is going to be the highest scoring game of the night. Should be an easy one to do as well, because you have a lot of middle infield options in the top of these orders. So, plenty of ways to go there in Texas. And I definitely a game that I think will generate a lot of popular, plays, because it's the highest total, it's the best weather. There's a lot of reasons to like it, so no doubt I'll be playing those teams myself. Mets Brewers 8.5 runs in Milwaukee. Now I think that this is a little bit of a low total. Do I trust the Mets? No, not at all. I mean they've been brutal in the last month, but I do kind of like the Brewers lineup here versus Steven Matz, and I don't mind the matchup for the Mets versus Davies. You know, both of these guys, meh. That's the way to talk about them. You know, let's look at Davies here. 17%. He is a home favorite. 17% strikeout rate, 9% swinging strike rate, a 40% hard contact rate, however, and a 4.57 Sierra for Davies. And it's the righties. It's all righties. And so, this has been the weird thing. He's kind of got that reverse splits thing going for him. So, yeah, I mean, that's the problem here, is you don't love the Mets righties. And you do have some lefties that you would much prefer to get involved here. But I think I'm okay with Nimmo and Cabrera. They've been consistent. Conforto, always a guy who's productive. We'll see who else is in the lineup. I'm not going to go and, you know, get after Jose Bautista necessarily, but I don't mind some of these bats here, at the top of the order for the Mets. They're not my favorite. I probably would put them above Boston and Tampa Bay, but firmly kind of behind Kansas City, Texas, and even Milwaukee to that point. But Nimmo hitting well right now. Hitting righties very well, 267 ISO, and Cabrera doing it as well. You might get Wilmer Flores here. Who knows? I mean, the numbers right now for him versus right-handers are interesting. He wasn't in the lineup yesterday, I believe. We'll see. I think it's take a look at what the Mets lineup looks like. It's been changing a lot, you know, with injuries and stuff like that. We'll see what they get. They're probably not in the top half of teams that I'm interested in, but okay. Small ballpark, plenty of lefties. Davies giving up the hard contact to righties. You could talk me into like a little three-man Nimmo, Cabrera, Conforto. That I think I would feel comfortable with. That might be the extent of what I'm interested in on the Mets. Now, on the Milwaukee side of things versus Steven Matz, you know, Matt's 22% strikeout rate, 7% swinging strike rate, but the walks, 10% walk rate, allowing way too many home runs, 24% home run to fly ball ratio. And if you're pitching half your games in Citi Field and you're still allowing 24% home run to fly ball rate with a 38% fly ball ratio, or 38% fly ball rate, you're not going to do well in Milwaukee. And Matt's the lefty, it's the right-handers. A 509 slug allowed to them, a 309 wOBA allowed to that side of the plate. Just not generating enough whiffs. Lefties seem to be getting to him as well. But the hard contact, really, really on the right side of the plate, 41% there. So, pretty straightforward to me. Jesus Aguilar, boom, get involved. I mean, 3.2K, batting fourth. Yeah, Ryan Braun, we'll see. Maybe he'll be back in the lineup. Domingo Santana, too cheap, 2.7. Lorenzo Cain leading off, always a solid option as well. So very easy to talk me into a combination of different brewers here. We haven't seen, we've seen a lot of inconsistency, I guess is the best way to talk about Milwaukee. Quite a bit of inconsistency. They kind of been all over the place. And as a team versus lefties right now, not good, right? Not the numbers are not good. 67% wOBA or WRC plus, 20% strikeout rate. So not an exciting offense. But guess who's worse? And it's the Mets. I mean, there's reason to be. I think I'm more bullish on a home team that's favored here. With some guys that we know have legitimate power that, you know, against Mats, who has a fly ball issue, you could definitely send one and maybe you find a couple solo shot home runs out of this Milwaukee lineup. So Cain, Santana, Braun, if he's there, Aguilar, that's 1-4. That's totally fine. Of course, maybe, I don't know, Hernan Perez. There's been days when Hernan Perez has done good work for me. There's been days, definitely. But I don't know necessarily that tonight will be one of those days. So basically it's get your pitchers from Boston, Tampa, get your bats from Kansas City, Texas, maybe throw in some Mets, some Brewers to be, to mix it up a little bit. Let's go over to FanDuel. Let's see if we can throw together a quick main slate lineup. All right. Pretty straightforward. I mean, this is not particularly hard. If I go Porcello, I can easily get, a mix and match Kansas City and Texas with a little bit of Mets, which is exactly kind of what I talked about here. Porcello, then I get Sal Perez, Mike Moustakas, John Jay, and those three guys from the top of that Kansas City order. Add Asdrubal Cabrera at second. Had Brandon Nimmo as leadoff batter there. Those 1-2 right there, and then in the Mets order, and then get some Texas bats and get Delino DeShields, Jerickson Profar, and Isaiah Kaner-Falefa. Inexpensive, but also at the top of that order. This is kind of just a fundamentally sound starting place to go to. You can obviously pivot and be a little bit different here, and you go down to Snell and you create a little bit more flexibility for your lineup. But I'll build around, fool around with it. I mean, you're going to have to be different in some way, and that's the key here is a combination of full stacks and being aggressive with some of the decision-making that you have, or else you just don't – there's no reason to play a three-game slate and not be aggressive. You can't be chalky on a three-game slate. No point. That is it. Guys, hey, thank you for listening. Going to get you out of here fast tonight. Josh and I will be on the horn for a Friday show. That hopefully will be a good one, as it is the last broadcast.